This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Pie in the Sky Media. This series contains adult language and descriptions of graphic violence throughout. Listener discretion is advised.
And we're live. 3, 2, 1. Welcome back, Murder Chronicles Nation, to another bonus episode of the hit podcast, The Murder Chronicles.
Ooh, you're coming in like a live wire tonight.
Yeah. My name's Brandon. I produce the show with the great Carolyn Osorio. Carolyn, how are things up in the Emerald City?
Oh my gosh, they're great. We went to the pumpkin patch yesterday. And that's
a grift. That's a racket.
Oh, it totally
it
was.
A racket.
Oh my gosh.
$26 for a 50-cent pumpkin. Okay, great.
No, it was even worse than that. Because they had a petting farm, and of course we had to do the whole thing. Thank God we didn't do the corn maze. Every year we do the corn maze, and every year we can't find our way out.
Well, you know the answer to that.
What? Tell me the
any
answer.
Any of these mazes, it goes back all the way the Greeks figured it out on the labyrinth on Crete, the Minotaur. You just keep your right hand along the wall at all times, and then eventually lead you out.
The corn row wall?
Basically, in lieu of a wall, fine, keep your right foot along the bottom hay bale. If you just
Well, what we do is cheat and totally like break it down.
No, see, you cheat and you panic, it introduces emotion, which is the enemy of critical thinking, so you can't do any of that. Okay.
I know. When you want to get out, you want to get out. It's like this corn maze.
Yeah.
We've already we're in too deep. We need to be rescued.
Gosh,
gotta save ourselves.
And then 3 weeks from now, it's going to be a Christmas tree lot where you're paying $300 for a tree from up by your neighborhood. Yes. I mean, it's a racket. It is.
I know. Okay. So when did you go? Have you gone yet?
We've gone. We used to go every year to this. You know, and I'm in LA, right? So there are a couple of really big ones, take over a couple of maybe a full city block. Okay, and there's a little fucking kitty train that goes around the perimeter of it, right? And then there's obviously the corn maze, and then big hay bales and shit that you can, right? It's just like everything. And then of course the pumpkin patch, which seems secondary to everything else. But what's really kind of awful about being in LA is that they also have these little corrals for the paparazzi to stand in, to take pictures of the celebrities that are there with their kids. They're like, okay, yeah, I know you could take pictures from here, but that's it. And then they have little private areas with a selection of pumpkins just for the celebs if they don't want their kids, because you're not going there unless you have kids or you're a fucking weirdo. Right. So they allow some kind of, protection for the identity of the celebrity's children. So they give them some cover, but so it's just kind of gross.
That's like a subculture. I've never heard of that before. That's so gross. Well, that's like, so
Google it now. Anybody out there, I implore you.
You need to know about it.
No, you could Google celebrity pumpkin patch LA, whatever. And you'll see it. And it's everywhere. Like in Santa Monica every year, there's every Christmas season, there's a skating rink that they build right on the boulevard right there. And there's a paparazzi corral. So, you could see celebrities skating and take pictures of them. It's ridiculous, but it's the world we live in.
Well, we had a great time.
Great.
We got lots of pumpkins and it was fun. Yeah.
Do you do the carving? You don't seem like you do the carving. You don't get your hands dirty, do you?
Are you kidding?
It's your
me?
Husband. I know it. I know it. You can say what you want. I can tell looking at you.
You've got to be joking. You don't know. You don't know me. You don't know me.
You don't know me like that. Sorry.
Of course I do the carving. In fact, I watched a video. I can't even believe that you don't think that I would do. I'm
falling
like
into my trap. Don't be so easy. You're falling into my trap. Of course I know that you're like the Wonder Mom. You've had 19 kids. Okay. Of course. No, you do all the carving. Now listen, here's the main question though. Here's the main question. Freehand or stencil for the jack-o'-lantern?
Fucking freehand every day. I do the traditional Charlie Brown. I am not even going. I have nothing to do with those stencils. Like every year my kids wants, and I'm like, go for it. I have a new trick though. I actually watched a video.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh. I'm not going to tell you what that hand looked like just in that moment, because that's like, right.
Video. What was the video about?
The video was that we've been carving pumpkins all wrong.
Oh, you're from the bottom, right?
You're from the bottom.
Yeah. And then all the guts
come
out.
I didn't know that. So that's going to be my new thing this year. I'm going to try it from the bottom and see how that works.
Yeah, that works. So
you're saying you already knew that trick? Is that what you're saying?
Of course. But here's why. Here's why. This year, for the last 15 years, it's the 15th annual, the Sunday before Halloween, we have a pumpkin carve at our house. And it started when we were, you know, just crazy young kids, you know, living in a little apartment on Hollywood Boulevard, where we had like our neighbors come over, and there was like six people, and we carved pumpkin. The next year it was a little bigger, and the next year it was been. Then we were in a house, and the whole street came, and then, you know, we had kids, and then the family, and then all their friends, and so now it's like over 100 people come to our house, and it's bring your own pumpkin, and we have a pie eating contest, and we do bobbing for apples, and we do everything, and it is the worst day of the year for me. Because I can't enjoy it because I'm constantly getting pulled in every direction. Do you have extra this, or where's this, or how can we do that? We're out of the seating, or where do you have any trays, or where are the cups, or where are the fucking napkins, or do I cut myself? Like what? That's so. I'm Dr. Phil is what they call me that day. If you have a problem, go find Brandon. So pumpkin carve day, I'm Dr. Phil, and there's pictures.
Okay, so do you? Yeah. What's your pumpkin technique? Are you freehand, or are you? Do you do stencils? Like what's your thing? Are you too busy fixing?
I've done it all. Short answer is I've done it all.
And oh my gosh.
Now I need to stay on the cutting edge of jack-o'-lantern technology just because people ask me shit, because it's it eventually the whole purpose of our pumpkin carve every year is that it's a contest, right? We elect judges in the beginning. There's prizes for the top three. And we had to bifurcate the prizes 10 years ago because people were bringing stencils and they were making these kick-ass jack-o'-lanterns. And the freehanders, okay, were getting really, really pissed off because they were just getting stomped because they're sucked compared. So we have a freehand competition and we have a stencil competition. Okay.
Oh my gosh. You guys are really taking it to the next level.
I've done a lot of it. But then there's also a technique.
What is your personal favorite?
My personal favorite right now, over the last couple of years, I've gone back to freehand. I've gone back to freehand. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which I like. But there's a lot of ways that you can do it. Okay. There's about, you know, there's thinning out the inner flesh of the pumpkin. Okay. So you have an easier car from the outside. And so, you know, your work is can better be appreciated, right? Then there's the technique of you start from the outside, but you don't cut all the way through. It's you're shaving. So you leave a little membrane inside and that makes it glow instead of the light coming through. There's a lot of-
This is the side of you I don't need to see.
I'm an artist. I'm an artist. Okay. Let's just
lean into that. You were earnest.
No, I'm an artist. Let's just lean into that. Just accept it. Okay. Mm-hmm. An artist. Mm-hmm. And I very-
Okay, you'll have to send pics.
I very rarely actually get to carve a pumpkin on our nights because I end up, I'm a judge. And to be quite honest with you-
Oh my gosh.
I can be bought. I'll be honest. Okay. I've been bribed. I accept bribes. Everyone knows I accept bribes.
But how do you do that when there's kids?
The bribes are from the kids.
Okay, no, but I'm saying, how could you, I'm sure you have all different ages.
Oh,
in there.
Sure. Yeah, you just got to know how to shake them down. They might have some candy that I want. They might have information on one of my kids. that I want. Okay. I mean,
so what are you going to wear trick or treating to Denzel Washington's place this year?
I don't do costumes anymore. I'm a grown man. I don't wear costumes. I'm sorry.
I know, but you told me you went to his place.
I was 18. I was 18.
You can't believe that. I saw your nose like twitch. Or like, no.
I lean into that. That was great. I love going to Denzel's. I was a young, stupid teenager, drunk. But that was fun. So from one horror story to the next, let's get to this. Jurgens Road. What happened on Jurgens Road?
Yeah.
So let's talk about Jason Fox real quick, because the information on him, it kind of trickled out over the course of the episode, which as a listener was nice, but for our purposes here, I just want to get some things out. So he was 19. He struggled with drug abuse, and he's a gay man. Okay. And all of those things play directly into the story. I'm not just saying that, you know, to be whatever. All right. So September of 2020, he'd had a rough time.
Yeah.
Right. He's couch surfing, didn't have his own place, was going from kind of place to place. He was staying with, who was it? Was it his aunt?
He was staying with his aunt, Jennifer.
Aunt Jennifer. And, right.
And she had a boyfriend, Angel.
Yep.
And he had been kicked out of or left a place that he'd been staying at before and went to her and was like, please let me stay.
And she says, cool. And he's had
issues before, but she said temporarily, yes, you can stay. And she tried to help him, you know, with his drug addiction. She'd helped him in the past try to detox at home.
Yep.
And it worked, but unfortunately, you know, he was drawn back in. And that's why, you know, I'm glad that you said that about the fact that he was using drugs and the fact that he was a gay man and that he was having a hard time, because it does feel invasive as you tell the story. This is his life. And, right. And you know, so I included some of the journal entries just to show that he really wanted to overcome this addiction so badly and was just so upset by it. And it's just a really sad story, but it's important to the story for people to know what happened to him, you know?
Of course. And what and people listening may or may not know, my wife and I, one of the first places we lived together was in a city called West Hollywood. It's like a city within Los Angeles. And it's a high percentage of people live there are LGBTQ, right? So we're just surrounded by, you know, gay dudes all the time, right? And awesome and super cool. And just like everybody else, there's some of them that, you know, are pains in the ass and some that are really great. And just like everybody else. But meth is, at least back then, and this is going, I haven't lived there for probably 15, 20 years, but for some reason, meth was just vitiating the gay community back then, right? There were drug addicts, and it wasn't cocaine and it wasn't heroin, but meth just became really fucking popular in the gay community. And I don't know if it still is, but back then it was a scourge in the gay community. And so, and they were open about it, and there were support groups everywhere, and a lot of help was extended, but also, it did a lot of damage. So now I'm not sure. It doesn't even sound like Jason had a community where he was living. So it's not, it's because outside of the gay community, meth is a terribly addictive, terrible scourge on the community everywhere you go. So I'm sure that was kind of how it happened, but be that as it may, you're right.
And I think for a time, these folks were his community.
Right.
They were, you know, he was a vulnerable kid.
Yeah.
And he starts hanging out with some, they're, you know, maybe like 5 years older than him.
Right.
And I think that,
you know, new friends. He got a new friend group.
He got a new friend group. He stayed with his mom in Seattle. I mean, I could just so see him thinking he's a high schooler. It's his senior year. He wants to go to Seattle, pie in the sky. Like, you know, Seattle is so, you know, welcoming and like so different than Newport, right? So, you know, I'm sure that's what he thought in his mind, you know, that he could be himself. And he gets there. And it's like, yeah, maybe it was great and he was connecting with his mom, but like you know, you bring your issues with you no matter where you go. And it feels like, you know, he was really missing his, you know, his life. You know, he was pulled back to Newport because it was easy and comfortable. And, you know, I mean, I felt for him so deeply, you know?
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. You don't really make a new friend group unless you share some shit in common with those people. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's not like he was the fifth member of a group of four, you know, sober people. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like he was probably the fifth member in a group of four other meth heads. Okay. Or at least casual drug users where he could be himself. Mm-hmm. Is what I
would. Well, and I think that it can go so fast.
Yeah.
You know, you get introduced to drugs. It's so freaking addictive. You know, he's with these friends that he's trying to, like his dad said, because when I said, why did he go back? You know, not to victim blame or shame at all, just to try to understand, you know, if he was so worried about them, why did he go there that night? And he said he just wanted to be liked. He wanted to be with his friends. He was hoping that he could just go there and hang. Probably. I mean, his parents were, you know, spitballing there as to why he would go based on how they knew their son. And so,
right.
You know, I think that it just took an awful turn, you know?
Well, so I want to talk about, we'll get back to Jason and his new friend group and talk more about the investigation for a second, because they had this trail of breadcrumbs. It wasn't even a trail of breadcrumbs. It was a fucking brightly lit runway leading to Jurgens Road. Okay. Yeah. If anything happens to me, here's where I'm going, fucking 22 Jurgens Road. Okay. So, but it took them 24 hours before cops even went there when they had that evidence. Like, I don't understand. Like what
it was actually longer than that, because it took the family 24 hours to wait for the period for them to report him missing. And then once they came, then it took them another 24 hours to get there. And that was the parents' point of like, why didn't you go there immediately?
Right.
Like, why would you not go to 22 Jurgens Road right away?
Like, I know we've talked about this before, about the validity of someone's dying declaration. Like, that almost has like some kind of legally binding kind of truth embedded in it. Okay. Like, that's how I would treat something like this. I've left those messages before. Okay.
Really?
But only like if I'm going hiking or if I'm going up into the mountains, like my brother, I'm like, okay, here's the trailhead where I'm going out of cell service. Right. Like that. So, mm-hmm. Either you hear from me in 12 hours or you send a fucking helicopter like that. Okay. Like I've done, you know, just.
No, I've done that too. Right, I actually exactly. did that today. So, yes.
And if my brother doesn't hear from me in 12 hours and 1 second, he knows fucking get going, you know? But so.
Yeah.
If I get a text from a buddy of mine, if anything happens to me, I'm at this address and I don't hear from him like the next morning, I'm going there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like with the cavalry, you know? So the fact that, so it was 2 days.
I think that given the fact that he was, you know, a young kid who would be gone for a couple of days, it wasn't unusual for him. I think, you know, it's different from a dad with responsibilities sure. and a family. Yeah,
but the only difference, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but what I'm saying is that had he ever left a text like that before?
No. And I totally, right. I just want to try to be as fair as possible to like, you know, assessing it, because I mean, if it were my kid and I got that text, I would be like, I mean, everybody pile in, let's go get our kin, you know, like let's go and get, you know. So
why'd you turn into a hillbilly right there?
I don't know, because when it comes to your kid, it's so primal.
Oh, you said so, kid. I thought you said kin.
I did say
kin. Oh, you said kin. Okay, I revert back. Why'd you become a hillbilly right there?
Because I just couldn't help myself.
Get our kin!
That's how I feel.
Yeah, I hear you. You get mama bear.
If anybody is under... Anyway, it doesn't take much. I mean, I could be at a grocery store and if somebody was doing something, messing with us. That side of you comes out where... It's not a Karen side. It's just a protection side of like, hey, we need to go find out, and we can't rely on if the police aren't doing it, we need to do it ourselves.
Yep. Okay. So there's this. It sounds like a beautiful property, right?
It is. It's gorgeous.
And it sounds like one person had permission to be there and let his friend squat there. Which is fucked up. But how much, you know, that shit was going on everywhere during COVID. everywhere, you know, because shit was closed down and nobody cared and everyone's doing their own thing. So, okay. So that's what was obviously happening.
It was a perfect storm.
Yeah.
And I think that like when this first happened, people were like, well, why were these people at this property? Why did they allow this to happen? Oh, well, because COVID was such a unique situation.
You needed a caretaker for a big property. So okay,
yeah.
Great.
And so I think that, but I think normally you wouldn't think that people would just be able to squat on this. I mean, this type of property, but it was because of COVID.
Right. Because generally there would be more oversight and the owner would come by and say, who's this asshole in my guest house? Oh,
right. Well, there'd be weddings going on.
Of course. Yeah. It wouldn't be available. So let's talk about Pepper. That's Jason's mom.
Yes.
You know, she obviously, there's nothing more dangerous than a mother with nothing left to lose. I mean, that's a great, I'm paraphrasing, but that's
her line.
And that's very accurate. And she obviously wanted some answers, you know, and then the dad comes in, right? And the dad, you know, he and I seem kind of cut from the same cloth a little bit with his colorful language and his kind of, you know, no nonsense, just be honest with me kind of shit. And they're understandably upset with how the investigation unfolded. So do you see any problems with how the investigation unfolded? You personally?
I mean, me personally, like I said, you know, I mean, I just went into like, get our can. Like I would feel exactly how they would be feeling. And I think most people would like, where's our son? What's happening? Like, I need answers. And I know that goes against, to be fair with law enforcement, they're trying to put it together, but I do think it took them way too long, from my personal opinion, to get out to 22 Juergens Road.
All right, I'm going
to
ask you some provocative questions. Okay. And devil's advocate for me, advocate for the devil here for me. Along the lines of, and for anyone listening that doesn't understand this reference, please go listen to The Shadow Girls. Along the lines of Rebecca Garde, do you think Jason Fox's lifestyle in any way contributed to a lackadaisical response from law enforcement? He's a dope fiend. Excuse me. He's a dope fiend. He's like a gay kid who, you know, it's a lover's quarrel or who knows or whatever.
You know, what I think is that there were a lot of the fact that he was known to leave for a couple of days at a time. Mm-hmm. I think that they took that into consideration. But I think they should have gotten there sooner. Now, whether that was because he was, I mean, did they know that he was openly gay? I don't even think he was openly gay.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I don't know what he was up to, but I think that they should have gotten there a lot sooner. And I think that oftentimes in this world that, you know, who you are is sometimes the indicator of what kind of justice you're going to get, which is totally fucked up.
And I hope that that's not true, but unfortunately I think it is. but okay. So now let's look at that lifestyle. So he didn't have a lot of money. He didn't really have a job, but he was still intent on getting high. And so told a dealer, I don't have cash. I only want $20 worth of crystal, which will get you high for about a fucking half hour, right? But here's my Apple Watch. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he gets hustled. They give him salt, bath salts.
Yeah. Which I think shows his inexperience. I don't know. I mean, does that show his inexperience, or is it just because the exchange happened so quickly? I mean, is that something that would be easily hustled?
I had a buddy of mine who we were on. My dad used to own a boat, okay, like a big fishing, like sport fishing boat, and he had it down in Florida, Miami, and we'd cross over into the Bahamas. It's like a real quick, like a 2-hour trip to Bimini. Beautiful. It's like amazing. And then from there, it like kind of opens up to all these other islands in the Bahamas. And so we were in some town, one of the bigger towns in the Bahamas, and me and my brothers, we would take our friends and we'd all go out on my dad's boat. And two of the guys, fucking lunatics, they decided they wanted to buy some cocaine. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they go into this marketplace and they find a dude. Okay. And it happened like in the open air, like it was real quick. Like, I'll palm you this. I looked at it real quick and said, okay. Cause it looked like the drugs that he wanted. Okay. And then they take off, and it wound up being powdered sugar. Okay. Right. And so something like that, where you don't have the opportunity to fully investigate what you're buying because it's an illicit, illegal activity. You're out in the open, in public, and you don't want to get arrested. So it could have very easily been something like that. Because at first glance, you know, you look at bath salts. I'm sure it probably looks like meth. I don't really know what meth looks like, to be honest. I mean, I've seen Breaking Bad, but I don't think that that's, I don't, it might be accurate, might not. So if it was like a public drug buy where you don't have time to go test the purity of it, you know, it was just, it was a hustle. And so he was pissed. He wanted to get his watch back and he wanted his drugs. And that's what kind of started like this.
Yeah. And like Riley, the woman who did this to him was his girlfriend or really good friend.
Riley's good friend or girlfriend. Correct.
Yeah. Right.
So that started the beef between Jason and Riley.
But the beef had already started before.
Right.
There was a lot of talk that there had been people who had tried to lure him out. This wasn't the first time.
Do you know the origins of the beef between Jason and Riley? Or the nature?
You know, there's a lot of, that's the thing, like what I read through, and I didn't watch the trial, so I don't know what, I know what happened that he was convicted, but from what the records that I got, there was just a lot of witness statements about what could have happened, that there could have been a, you know, there was it drugs? Was it related to a sexual relationship between the four guys?
Yes, that's what I think. That would be my thing, because you just got to think what's someone willing to kill you over, right?
Yeah.
What's someone really willing to kill you over? $20? No, I'm sorry. Give me the dopiest dope fiend, most desperate dope fiend in the world. They're not going to fucking kill you over $20. They're not. They're not going to kill you over an Apple Watch. They're not. Mm-hmm. But will they kill you to keep a secret that you might have gotten drunk and had sex with a dude when you want everyone to think you're straight? Yeah. Yeah. And so when the mom said that.
Was it more than one?
Who knows? More than one? Maybe. But it doesn't, even if it doesn't have to be, right? Because the mom said that Riley was his bully. Riley was Jason's bully. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That would generally mean he has some kind of control over him, that he can intimidate him, that he can kind of force him to do shit that he might not want to do or that. But what's the real nature of a bully that we learned? A bully is generally scared. A bully is generally is covering up for stuff, some kind of feeling of less than, right? Or some feeling of insecurity or whatever.
Absolutely.
Right. And so, and I have zero evidence for anything that I'm saying. Okay. And I don't know how this was adjudicated or what was maybe admitted or not, but I would say that I would think that this was a hate crime, that there was some kind of sexual activity between Jason and one or more of these dudes. And they lured him out there to fucking shut him up.
I think that that's why the truth has never really come out.
Yeah.
You know, even people like they're not saying why they did it. They're still acting like, oh, it was the other ones that did it, you know? So,
yeah,
well, so I think,
hold on. I got to bring that up. Like of all of these dudes, like Kevin is the only one who'd make it like in the mafia. Cause he stuck to his fucking story. everybody else folded. And he's like, no, it wasn't even that. No one said, I never even saw him. I don't even know. The sun was in my eyes. I wasn't there that day. It was like that when I got here. Right. Like that was Kevin.
I am surprised they held it together as long as they did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The first round of questioning, no one said shit. The cops come back, lean on him a little bit, and they're just like, it was him. And the other one says, it was him.
I think the community was leaning on them all, too.
Because
it was like, you know how small towns are, and with social media, and people were actively like, this was being like adjudicated online.
Right.
Were like, you guys need to do the right thing and you guys need to come forward. And then Pepper was in the mix and she was acting like some of these people actually went to the police because they were afraid of Pepper.
Right.
Because she was like, you need some first or last born son. You know, she was not threatening, but she was kind of making videos that was like, hey, she wanted some answers. And she was probably doing that to put pressure on police to like, hey, do something.
Of course.
You know?
Of course.
You know, what else could she do?
Gosh. So CL got the most time, right? Kevin got off with like a year time served.
Yeah. Okay. It sounds like he, if, you know, based on the evidence that they had, that he did not, he didn't do anything to help Kevin. I mean, to help Jason, but he wasn't the ringleader or a part of the actual beating. Right. And then,
And Matt, the dad, his trial hasn't started yet.
Right.
Okay. CL got 28 years.
He got.
So they considered him to be the actual.
No, you know what I think? I think that, that he showed no remorse. Oh, in that. Right. I think that, and that, that he, the judge was so repulsed by what, I mean, I mean, it was repulsive what he was saying. That's why I included it at the end where he's like, how do you think that makes me feel? Yeah. And it's like, dude, why do we care about how you feel?
I know. Of course.
I mean, that's like contrition 101.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I'm so sorry this happened. I mean, he's can't even give the family that. Like, and he had the book, and even because, I mean, he had the book thrown at him 28 years. The other guy got 19.
Gosh.
You know, so, it's.
And then just hearing the accounts of the beating, we're pretty, I mean, that was fucking disgusting. It was like 3 or 4 on 1, you know, and then they tied him up. They buried him. I mean, it's like, speaking of living in West Hollywood, we lived right up the block from Matthew Shepard Square. It's like an intersection, Santa Monica Boulevard and Fairfax right there. Or is it Crescent Heights? Sorry, it's Crescent Heights. Santa Monica and Crescent Heights. And that's, you know, this poor kid was, I don't even want to get into it, but you know, and at least his legacy is one of justice and one of bringing to light things like this. You know, this didn't get that designation that it was a gay hate crime. I think it probably was. I mean, again, based on nothing but me listening to a podcast, but still. So then they bury him. Christ, with a fucking bulldozer. That's what skid steer is, like a mini bulldozer, right?
Like an excavator. Yeah.
And then, and they dump his car in Montana. I mean, this is like it shows intent and it shows knowledge of wrongdoing. It shows like all of that. So I'm interested to hear what happens to this Matt guy. And then what really got me at the end, you gotta fuck with me at the end with this, is hearing his brother.
His
brother, you know, I'm sure he's describing what I felt. Anyone with a sibling will feel the same way. That is a good relationship with him. I have a great relationship with my brothers. And that's how our relationship, like, sending me stupid shit, right? Laughing till my stomach hurts. Cause we have in jokes that go back 45 years, right? That
I know
that nobody else would think is funny or whatever, you know? And so that, you know, and this kid, and you know that you're talking to someone who isn't really sophisticated, or at least doesn't sound sophisticated with regard to where we're at culturally in terms of the LGBTQ movement and the acceptance that's happening. But he's willing, you know,
he got there
and he's still in the process of getting there. When he says, you know, my brother, I was learning about the gay stuff from my brother, right? Like the way that he phrased it, I would argue, doesn't mean he's there yet, okay? Because saying the gay stuff, you know, is still a little, isn't the right language. People could find that.
And that's what really bothers me about. He's trying.
I know, which is great. Like, and I would argue, I would tell anybody who takes exception to that language to shut the fuck up because he's trying. But there will still be a loud voice of, what do you mean the gay stuff? Dude, you fucking know what he's talking about. This is a straight kid who's probably a homophobe and didn't even know it. Okay, until he realized that he had a gay brother. And he's like, oh, but wait a minute. I love my brother and he's super cool. And we talk about stuff and oh, I guess it's okay. It's not a big deal if you're gay, right? Like that's the journey that he's on. And we need to applaud that, you know? So people just like the brother need almost as much understanding as the person who's coming out, right? The people who are trying to understand and accept people coming out also need some understanding and some fucking latitude with their journey also. Okay. Cause that makes it better for everybody. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I feel exactly the same way. And I just feel like, you know, the brother was trying.
Yep.
And that's a huge thing. He's not doing it because he's going to be on TV and he has to say the right things, or he has to, like, quote unquote, you know,
he's doing it for his brother.
Brother, yeah. And it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And he got there.
Right.
And he got there before his brother died.
That's great.
And that's the key.
Yeah.
And so did the rest of his family. So did his father.
Yeah.
You know, so did his stepmother. So, I mean, of course, his mom was already there, you know. So yeah. I just feel like, you know, this is so that he was so vulnerable and that they did this to him.
Right.
You know, any parent, like, just to think that your kids are vulnerable in that way and that somebody would do that. And that's heartbreaking,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if anything happens to your kid, it's heartbreaking.
Sure, sure.
But, this adds another extra layer to it that the kid, he just wants to be himself. He just wants to, you know, like Pepper said, the heart wants what the heart wants. And the fact that we're still having this conversation in 2023
yeah.
is like
ridiculous. I know.
Yeah,
I know it is. But so I honestly believe that it was not over $20 worth of meth. It wasn't over an Apple Watch. It was over something that some toxically masculine douchebag would think is worth killing someone for to keep a secret. That's what I think.
Well, I mean, the AR-15, the pepper spray, right? The
handcuffs,
knife, guns,
vest coming in. You can see I'm a man, right?
I mean,
right?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a tell right there.
Loser. Oh, of course
but
it
you
is.
Know what? I mean, you brought up a really great point. I think it's worth talking about is that then the pregame of the show, the talk show where it was like, we were trying to remember, it was like Maury Povich or something. And you describe it because it's so, it talks about how deep this runs.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was who recently died? Who was the former mayor of Cincinnati?
Oh, Jerry Springer.
I think it was Jerry Springer. And the topic was like once a month, they do like, you have a secret crush and you come on the show and they introduce you. Hi, my name's Matt and I'm from Sheboygan and I do this. And they're like, okay, Matt, someone that you know has a crush on you. Who do you think it is? Well, Jerry, I know who I hope it is. I hope it's Cindy from The Office because she's really cool and I like how she dresses. Or maybe it's Mary from the restaurant that I go to all the time because we're friends.
I love how you get a little bit of your like New York kind of
and
like,
I think she looks at me a little bit. And Jerry goes, well, it's not Mary. It's actually Joe from the gym, okay? And Joe walks out, right? And you see Matt from Sheboygan trying to still smile, but he's like, okay? And the tragedy of that is that Matt went and fucking killed Joe, right? Because he's like, now everyone on TV in Jerry Springer world thinks that I'm gay because of you. And that, for him, was worth fucking killing someone over. You know, you don't know that he was going to trigger that toxic fucking reaction in him, that to be considered or to be even thought of as gay is the worst thing in the world. And you have to go kill someone to erase it. You know what? I would say the guy probably was gay. You know?
And I mean, I think it would take a team of psychiatrists to figure out what was going on with that guy. Look, but yeah.
I'm straight. And if a guy comes up and tries to hit on me, I'd be like, hey, I'm flattered, but thank you. I'm straight. This is my wife. These are my kids. Boom, you know, let's have a coffee. Whatever. Like, I wouldn't be like, just fuck away from me. Can you see I'm straight? Right? I think that's the most ridiculous.
I see your AR-15 in the background.
That's the most fucking ridiculous thing. And every guy that I know that is comfortable with himself and knows who he is and is super cool is the same way. Like, I don't know there isn't a guy in my life, right? A straight guy in my life that would react that way. But you know what's funny in a very funny way is that the gay men that I'm friends with in my life get a little offended if a gay dude thinks that they're gay. Goes, what do you mean? What do I look? Oh, do I seem gay to you? Do I look gay to you? And I'm like, why are you getting all mad, dude? You're gay. Yeah, but I don't like, what does that mean? Do I, you know what I mean? Like they have that.
I just think that there's a big thing about masculinity and that speaks to it. Cause for so long there was the stereotypical version of whatever people
effeminate,
thought.
Right. They think that it means you're effeminate. Right. And that's a very awful kind of stereotype that is still attached to the gay community. Unfortunately.
Well, I think it was a tough one. It's a tough one.
It is. Sure. It is. And I think what's tough about it for me is that I feel like it was under investigated. Yes. People were admitted, you know, they were convicted in under court of law and blah, blah, blah. And they're going to jail for a long time. But I think that cases like these, and again, speculation on my part, but if I'm right, I think that these cases would do a lot more. They would benefit society to a much greater degree if they were fully exposed for what the motivations were behind it. That's all.
I think that my personal opinion, it took them too long to get to Juergens Road, but at the end of the day, you know, they did get some form of justice because we went missing September 15th and then the
early morning on the 15th. Yeah.
Right. And then they were arrested on November 7th. So like in terms of like a murder investigation,
that's great.
No, I mean, that's, you know, like, well, no, that's four. It's like,
oh, sorry. November.
Week. It's like 7 weeks.
Seven weeks.
And yeah. I think that, you know, if they would have rushed it, but it's just all the stuff going on in between and what the family had to go through, I feel like was a lot to ask considering the burden that they already had and that the guy was walking around a, you know, pride event or a vigil with an AR-15 and like he wasn't arrested. Like, no. What's up with that?
Yeah.
But I mean, those are our gun laws, I guess, you know, like you can walk as long as you, because I actually asked one of my law enforcement friends, I was like, how is this possible for this guy to be toting this around? This is in Washington State.
Open carry, right?
Yeah. He's like, as long as he's not brandishing it. And I'm just like, okay. I mean, we're not going to get into gun laws here. I'm not going to go there.
No, but it's funny where you see those morons like, in like Starbucks, right, with an AR around their chest, like what? Open gate? What?
When have you seen that? Have you seen that?
Fuck yeah! Oh my gosh!
What
these dudes? These big like sloppy dudes, right? Who are like, what? I'm allowed. I'm like, sure, you're allowed. You're allowed to do a lot of shit that you look like a fucking moron if you do it. And this is one of them, right? This is because you flex the right, you lose the right. I'm like, yeah, good dude, keep it up. You and your AR-15, you know, fuck off. But anyway, so yes, I agree. This was a difficult one, and it's always hard listening to the parents and siblings of the lost, you know, talk about it. But I think it's important. I think it's important. So
I do too.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, I'm interested to see what happens with Matt. We'll have to do a drop-in, follow his trial, and we'll see what happens. But anyway, thank you for listening, everybody. Again, Carolyn, great job. Appreciate your hard work. Please consider supporting the great companies that support our show. Without them, we wouldn't be able to do this. And if you have a second, pop on over to Apple Podcasts and rate the show. Give us 5 stars if you feel like it. And share with your friends. Carolyn, anything for next week? Anything you want to add?
You know, I have a couple of cases in the hopper that I think are really interesting. We forgot to celebrate our 1 year anniversary.
No, our 100th episode. Our 100th episode was like a couple, 3 weeks ago.
Okay, well, it coincided with like September 22nd, I think, was our launch date.
Yeah.
And we just were like so like in the grind of it all that we didn't like.
You just popped the champagne. Pshh. I didn't
Cheers.
Really, if you're listening.
I think they got that. I think they got that your sound effect wasn't the real
sound
deal.
Effect was on point. You ruined
it. Oh my gosh,
it.
You got me in the eye.
Yeah, you ruined it, but thank you. So yeah, 1 year, 100 episodes in, we, you know, what, 1.3 million downloads? I mean, we're doing great. I'm really, I'm proud to be part of the show. So
yeah,
thanks for having
All
me.
Right.
All right.
And thank you, everyone.
Yes. Thank you, everyone out there, Murder Chronicles Nation, for your support. We couldn't obviously do it without you. So until next week, everybody, stay safe out there.
The Murder Chronicles is a pie in the sky production recorded live in the beautiful Pacific Northwest. We are produced by Brandon Morgan and myself, music by Soundstripe. For Pie in the Sky Media, I'm Carolyn Osorio, your writer and host. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Hello, the world. Where They Will Kill, a true crime podcast. I'm Courtney Eck.
And I'm Sadie Eck. And we are sisters that want to tell you about lesser known murders.
Our cases are always compelling, maybe even a little scary, with just enough banter to keep it interesting.
You can find us at theywillkill.com
or anywhere you listen to podcasts. See you there.
See ya.